know of anybody who wants to make a wrong decision. And yet, I would venture to say all of us know what it's like to say, oh, if only I could take that back. In fact, I personally believe that if we had a choice, all of us would opt for a huge eraser and would erase a portion of the decision-making time of our life in terms of looking at, I made that decision, I thought it was right, I wanted it to be right, it was wrong.
This is Hope for the Heart with June Hunt, and I'm Joe Wolf. As we all face changes in our lives, you may find yourself with some important decisions to make. Decisions about your family, and even decisions about your community. So how do you make your decisions? Do you talk it through? Do you look for advice? Do you go with the majority? Today, June Hunt talks about having a spiritual discernment in your decision-making. Here she is with this important conversation.
I don't know of anybody who wants to make a wrong decision. And yet, I would venture to say all of us know what it's like to say, oh, if only I could take that back. In fact, I personally believe that if we had a choice, all of us would opt for a huge eraser and would erase a portion of the decision-making time of our life in terms of looking at, I made that decision, I thought it was right, I wanted it to be right, it was wrong. Decision-making is a process. It's not just a one-moment occurrence. It's a process that includes making a choice or judgment about an attitude or action. What's key to understand is decisions are an act of the will. Decisions are an act of the will. There is a choice. And they are always influenced either by the mind or by the emotions. Obviously, if the thought process is off, then your decision can so easily be off. If you're emotionally letting the tail wag the dog and the thinking is not in gear, the decisions can be terribly off base. So it's helpful for us to hone in on this. Your decisions receive God's blessing when you're willing to obey His will. You're willing to obey Him. What we see is in Isaiah 1:19, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. In other words, there will be blessing. There will be God's favor. What is decision making? Number one, your decisions receive God's blessing when you are willing to obey God. Number two, your decisions should be based on God's revealed will. When we hear God's will, there is His written will, as in the Bible, His written word, and there is His spoken, personalized word that He communicates to us through His Spirit, through the Spirit of God. There is that which is revealed. Acts 21, verse 25 says, as for the Gentile believers, we have written to them our decision that they should abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. The point is, there are so many things that God has clearly stated that if we line up our mind with His mind, and therefore our will with His will, then we are going to fare far better in life. It doesn't mean that we'll always make the right decision, but there's a huge benefit coming to know how God thinks, how God thinks about us, and what His will is for us, so that then we can learn to eliminate many of the bad options and we can go forward, and then based on, do we have a close enough relationship with Him that we are actually able to hear what He is saying And I'm not saying a voice booming out of the sky. I'm talking about literally being impressed and you don't even know why. Number three, your decisions reveal the desires of your heart. Your decisions reveal the desires of your heart. Psalm 119, verse 30 says, I have chosen the way of truth. Now, this isn't a legalistic kind of law. When you see that word laws, I realize we have laws, and it's like if you break the law, if you're on heroin or whatever, you can be jailed. It's against the law. Yes, that is one kind of law. But understand, the Bible talks about how he writes his law on our hearts. So there's personal communication that he will tell you. And the closer your relationship with him, the more clear it will be in terms of what is right in God's sight. You cannot be any more fulfilled in life than when you are in the center of his will, living life his way. When we are not in line with the Lord, then things will not go well. Meaning, we are so prone to make decisions based on what we think would be right, but they can so easily be wrong. Number four, your decisions are ultimately determined by what you desire the most. The fundamental principle for each of us becomes, do I choose to please myself, or do I choose to please the Lord? Interesting, it's like a general in battle. Joshua was known as being a man whom people could respect. He had great leadership ability. He made great decisions. There was a book in the Old Testament called Joshua. Joshua 24:15 says, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That's a choice. That was a decision he made. And if you look at his life, he had incredible success. And he was a leader. People followed him. Their lives were blessed by being in the will of God. Making decisions can be right in terms of methodology or wrong. Certainly not all methods of decision making prove to be profitable. Let's talk about the dramatic method. Now, have you ever seen anybody go, I have my Bible. What shall I do? Open it up. Point the finger. Oh, Judas went out and hanged himself. Oh, no, wrong one. Turn. Ah, go and do likewise. That is not a reliable method of decision making. That's just flipping the Bible, pointing to some random scripture for guidance. And what typically happens, I'll just tell you, when people do that, they have a tendency to keep going until they finally find something. Oh, see, and I just, it's like the fortune cookie. A lot of people want the fortune cookie to apply to them. And so they'll try to figure out, how can this apply? You're going to get good news. Good news. You know how general those statements are? You know, and people have I want to get some special insight. What does God say actually about this? Hebrews 5:14. Solid food, talking about the Word of God, solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Solid food is for the mature who by constant use, meaning using the Word of God, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Hebrews 5:14. Number two, the defaulting method. This is where Scripture tells us that there's an appropriate time to delegate duties and to seek counsel. But ultimately, we are responsible for our own choices. We can become so pressured by the opinion of others, this is a problem, so that it becomes easier just to let others make the decisions for us. Even if we think they're wrong, it's like, well, but at least somebody else is responsible. Delegation is a good thing if you're delegating to the right person and if you're being led by God to delegate, not to advocate your responsibility. Number three is the delaying method. This is where many people just choose to procrastinate. They choose to procrastinate when a decision is due, hoping that it will all come out well in the end. And so they allow circumstances to determine the outcome. However, not to decide is actually a decision. Not to decide is actually a decision. Their delay tactics are filled with superfluous activities that do not include placing a high priority on knowing God's will through prayer or biblical counsel and that deep intimacy with God. There's the deductive method. This is with an awareness that the Christian life is to be a balance between human deduction and spiritual insight. God did not create you to put your brain out in the back pasture and not use it and just say, oh, well, I'm just with God. He gave you a brain. Personally, I'm just very logical in my thinking. And, you know, I love apologetics. Reason is huge to me. One of the things that we know is that if he gives us a mind, we're to use our minds. We're to hone the skills. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Come, let us reason. There's reason in Scripture. So there needs to be a thinking through. But ultimately, in the end, we don't just rely on our thoughts, because Isaiah 55:8 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. There's the, I'm going to say, the desirous method that many people use. And this is where it's like, it can't be wrong if it feels so right. Now, can God use emotions? Yes. We just need to be so aware that feelings should not be the single determinant for us in our decision making. Too many people allow their own emotions to have soul control, allowing their feelings to determine their behavior. Well, while God gave us emotions, he never intended emotions to be our decision makers. And many of us don't even realize that we often have that, if it feels good, it must be good mentality. There's quite a caution given in Proverbs 28:26. He who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe.
Well, if you've just joined us, this is Hope for the Heart with June Hunt. June is looking at the different methods we can use when making decisions, and we'll hear more in just a minute. These methods for decision-making, along with other biblical principles and practical help, are in our Keys for Living on this topic. It's titled Decision-Making, Discerning the Will of God. You can order your copy at hopefortheheart.org. Now let's go back to our program, as June gives us a method of decision-making that has proven to work for the best.
Of all the methods, the discerning method is the best. This is the ability to have insight and understanding by going beyond what seems obvious. There's spiritual discernment. It's factoring in, though, what is obvious. And then there's spiritual searching, asking God to reveal his will. You're looking for wisdom to determine what is true, appropriate, even superior in the eyes of God, regardless of how things may seem. Discernment just doesn't fall out of a tree. It doesn't come by flipping a coin, heads or tails. Discernment, spiritual discernment, is a gift from God, and it comes through the Spirit of God. He's the one who communicates to us what we need to know. But he will use several things, understanding that the Spirit of God indwells every authentic Christian, not in name only, but authentic Christian who's humbled his or her heart and received Jesus as Lord and Savior, and their lives are changed. Spiritual discernment is the supernatural ability to know something, not based on personal knowledge, not based on book learning. It is literally spiritually discerned from the Spirit of God. And it comes through personal time spent with God in prayer with him. We are told in Ephesians 1:17, keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. God wants you wise. And I want you to be wise because we have too few wise people. The ability to know God and discern his will for your life comes through salvation initially. The Bible says the spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have, listen to this, we have the mind of Christ. Do you realize how extraordinary that is? That if you're an authentic Christian, you have been given the mind of Christ, and all it requires is intimacy with him, getting into his word. Scripture is the second. There's salvation and there's scripture. As you study scripture, you will know how God works in the lives of his people. And understanding God's principles gives you a basis for knowing how he is working in your life today. James 1:25 is an important passage. The man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. You do not have to know what God is going to do in your life at the end of the year, 6 months from now. That's not your charge. Your charge is not foreknowledge. Your charge is to be for what God is for with you. He wants you. He's the one who's omniscient. He's the one who's omnipotent, all-powerful. He's the one who is all creative to put you where he wants you to be. It's just marvelous when you think, oh, I never would have thought, I never thought this would be. Just make sure it's not your will. Just keep giving it back to him every day. Just like, you know, Lord, I'm yours. That's all it requires from the heart. It's not a fancy prayer. Just, Lord, I'm yours. Keep giving yourself back to him. God will use situations. You know, are you focused on, though, what is God's will for my future? Instead, just focus on God's purpose for your present situation and just trust him with your future. He's the one who has the future. God always has a personal will for you, and your responsibility is to adjust to what he is doing in your life right now. There's a passage that many, many, many people respond to, and it's Matthew 6. This is Jesus. He's saying, seek first. See, he's prioritizing. Seek first his kingdom, the kingdom of God. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean some castle on a hill? No. It's what is in his will in heaven being operative in his will on earth. It's him accomplishing what he planned in heaven here on earth. So seek first his kingdom, letting him be king. Is he king of your heart? The king is the one who's in charge. The king is the one in control. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. What is righteousness? It's whatever's right in God's sight. So seek first for him to be king of your heart and life. And Lord, whatever's right in your sight. And then what's going to happen? All these things will be given to you as well. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. So, you know, he's just saying, trust me for now. Let me have you now. Be in my will now. I will take care of the rest. Submission. Are you submitting to what God wants to do in your life today? Be careful about saying, well, but I won't do that. Don't tell God. Don't dictate to God what you will and you won't do. Be very careful of these prayers. The last point of that spiritual heart, that spiritual discernment, is servanthood. Servanthood, that word. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many? So we have to say, well, wait a minute. Have I given up ownership of my life? Is my heart willing to be the servant of God, no matter the cost? I just yield instead of me looking at what people can do for me. Lord, what can I do? Can I be used in any way to help others? No one can serve two masters. Matthew 6, this is Jesus speaking. He will either hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Basically, he is saying, trust me, trust me, trust me. I'm the one who has your future. Be yielded to me in the present, and I'll take care of the future. This is how we grow in spiritual discernment. We allow the Spirit of God to teach us how to think, to direct our will how to act, to influence our emotions, so that what we do will actually be right in God's sight. And it is life-changing. Psalm 25 says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are my God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Good and upright is the Lord. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. Do you see that phrase, chosen for him? Who's doing the choosing? God's doing the choosing. You can't go wrong if he's the one who says it's right. The choice is left to him. Remember, God gives his best to those who leave the choice up to him. He's the one who can communicate his will for you to live his way. And when you live in his will, his way, there's no way that you cannot be fulfilled. No way.
I'm so glad June has shared these principles about decision-making and how God can guide us along the way. This is Hope for the Heart with June Hunt. If you missed any of today's program, get your phone out, go to your app store, and download the Hope for the Heart broadcast app. You can also visit hopefortheheart.org to listen to this program again and download a free guide to decision-making. And to expand on this process of decision-making that we heard about today, along with other guidance in this area, let me encourage you to get our Keys for Living on this topic. It's titled Decision-Making, Discerning the Will of God. The website to find it, hopefortheheart.org, or call us at 800-488-4673. Hope for the Heart is here each weekday to share the message that there is hope, no matter the circumstance. Just imagine your parent, your child, or a friend looking for hope during a desperate time. Well, together, you can help us get this message of hope to more people. Here's how.
Do you know someone who is down and going through a tough time? Is someone you know hurting and you don't know how to help? The 50 topics covered in the Counseling Through Your Bible handbook may be just what you need to help others. It's our gift to you when you become a partner with Hope for the Heart. We want to help you begin your ministry of hope. Our best-selling resource, Counseling Through Your Bible Handbook, will equip you to share biblical insight and practical help with those around you. Your reoccurring monthly gift of $30 will not only equip you to help others, your regular financial support allows us to multiply God's hope to a hurting world. You can start this partnership today by calling 800-488-HOPE. Or go to hopefortheheart.org/handbook. That's 800-488-HOPE. Or go to hopefortheheart.org/handbook.
Well, we've been talking about decision-making, and this Counseling Through Your Bible handbook can help with life's decisions, as well as other challenges we all face. Share hope in your community and all across the world. Give today at hopefortheheart.org. For June Hunt, I'm Joe Wolf. Thank you so much for joining us today. And remember that there is hope, no matter the circumstance. Meet us back here tomorrow for more of this hope, right here on Hope for the Heart.